our behavior, our lifestyle should be excellent. Now in society, we should be submissive to the authority. We should be good citizen in the society. Why? The reasons, five reasons are there. The will of God, it is God's will. And secondly, it is the example of Christ. We saw that for Christ, because he lived in that way, and then the glory of God, through such life, God is glorified, then our own good is good for us, then finally our freedom. Our freedom means, you know, we are free, we are not bound to sin, we are not slaves to sin, we are free, so it's easy for us to obey God, because we are God's servants. We are not servants to sin, but we are servants to God. So it is easy for Christians to obey rule, to live righteously. So that is our freedom. Now, from 18 onwards, Apostle Peter deals with our honorable behavior in our workplace. Servants, be submissive to your masters. Now we must remember one thing, that when Peter speaks to servants, of course it's about the relationship between an employee and employer. But we must remember the difference. Here the servants, they are actually who? Slaves they are. Now today we don't understand what is slavery, who is a slave, what is the condition of a slave. We don't really understand. But in those days, you know, masters, they buy a slave. A slave is a property of a master. A slave has no right at all. A slave, he has to work. He has to serve that master for life. Because master has bought him with a price. But what happens in the New Testament, we see many slaves, they got saved. We read that in the book of Corinthians. And not only slaves, even who also got saved, masters also got saved. We know Philemon, he was a master, he had slaves also. So naturally, normally what happens as we see today, slave will feel that our master, both of us, when we go to the church, when we go to the assembly, we are Christians, we are brethren. Who is he now? He is not a master, he should not impose any rule upon us. So he should not deal with us as a slave as he dealt with us earlier. So there may be an idea in their mind, an attitude in their mind. They may not take their work seriously. They may not respect that masters as they used to respect. And master also may behave in the other way. So now Apostle Peter, not only Peter, even Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, Colossians 3, 1 Timothy 6, Titus and Philemon. You see, examples are there. Philemon also says to their servants, what he says, Apostle Paul, Peter, both say, be submissive to your master. In 1 Timothy 6, 2, you will read that. Don't despise. Maybe just read that. 1 Timothy 6, 2, it is written there, and those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them, because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. So, should not despise a master because he is a brother, he is a Christian, he won't deal with you as he used to deal with you earlier. So, here the employer, a slave, should be submissive to master. He should be obedient. In Ephesians we read, in Ephesians and Colossians we see, he says, serve them from the heart, from your heart. And Peter says, even if they are not believers, even if the master is not a believer, he is rash, he is arrogant, he doesn't consider the, you know, servant. As we know, there are many employers today. There are certain people, you know, employers, you know, they are so strict or rash. They have no concern for the employee. They will not give an off to them. They will not give wages to them properly. They will not have any consideration for the employee. I know even Christian employees. I know. I have heard about that. But the Apostle Paul and Peter say, even to such people, employee is an employee, he should be submissive to their authority. No need to make a strike, no need to call for a strike, no need to speak against them, no need to rebel against them. They should be submissive even to those who are rash. Easy to be obedient to good people. It's very hard to be obedient to difficult people. So, Peter and Paul, they say, you should be submissive to them. Now, the reasons. Why? Three reasons are there. Peter says, gives three reasons. We won't go to what Apostle Paul says. We'll go to only what Peter says. Three reasons he gives there, verse 19. For this is commendable. For this is commendable. Commendable means, this is something that God is pleased in. So that's the first thing. It's pleasing to God. God is pleased. These servants or slaves, they should not be just submissive to master because they have no other choice. Many employees are like that. Their master is not a good person, difficult person, but still they obey because there is no other way. For them, you know, they have to obey, they have to be submissive to them. There is no other option. But Peter says, or even Paul also, when you are working for a master, should not be because you have no other way, you have no other option, no other choice. You should work because from your heart, because it is pleasing to God. God will be pleased when we obey from our heart, when we are submissive to them. Now, Apostle Peter adds something more there. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief. Suffering wrongfully. See, suffering wrongfully means this employee, this worker, he is a righteous person, he is submissive to him, that employer, and he doesn't do any wrong thing at all. Even then, this master is a difficult person. He is making lot of problems, difficulties to him. He is going through sorrow. He is suffering wrongfully, not because of any fault at all, because he is submissive, he is yielding to that master only because of his consciousness to God. What does it mean? Because he is conscious toward God. Some other translation, it is mindful of God. Mindful of God. See, mindful of God means he thinks of God. When he is working in an office, his attitude is, he doesn't think that I'm working for my wages or I'm forced to do a work. He is sure, he's aware that God has placed me here. Or God is aware. Or in other words, he is aware of God's presence. He knows that God is aware. God knows his situation. So that may be the one meaning. Mindful of God. The idea behind that word expression, mindful of God. This employee, he is working, he is submissive to that master because of his conscience toward God. Because he wants to stand for God. Because he wants to please God. Because he wants to be obedient to God. And the mindful of God means he is sure, he is aware. He is mindful. He is considering. He is aware, he knows God is present. God knows my condition. He knows, he is watching me carefully. He knows me exactly whatever I am suffering. and he is aware of God's presence. Now, number two, another thing. Okay. Awareness of God's presence, awareness of God's sovereignty. That means he is aware that God, in his sovereign will, has kept me here. Here is a difficult situation. Here is a room, here is an office, here is a work, here is a kind of life which I am not at all happy. But yet he is aware that God in his sovereign will has given me this opportunity to be here. So he will take care of it. So being aware of God's sovereignty, God's rule over him, he is willing to be submissive to that master. That's what Apostle Peter says. You must be submissive to God, being conscience toward God. In other words, being mindful of God. And the third thing is awareness of God's glory. Now what does it mean? See, awareness of God's glory means, now one thing we must remember, that idea we take from verse 20. See, in verse 20, Apostle Peter says, what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? There is no glory. There is no testimony. If you are suffering patiently because you have done something wrong, that's not an ideal thing. There is no testimony behind that. There is no glory behind that. There is no virtue behind that. But what Apostle Peter says, again he says, but when you do good, suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. That's a testimony. You are a righteous person. You are a right person. You behave in a righteous manner, godly manner. The others are aware about it. Even when you go through sufferings, you suffer it patiently. You don't speak against that boss. You don't do anything against him. It's a testimony. God's name is glorified. Others can see God's goodness in us. Others can see the virtue of God, the goodness, the qualities of God in our behavior. Thus, God's name is glorified. Then also, when we are consciously, when we purposely trust God, even in the old situation, God is pleased because we depend upon Him. See, we must remember, our dependence upon God is something pleasing to God. When we hesitate to trust God, see, even among human beings also, when we know that somebody is not trusting me, then the relationship is not in a good way. When we believe that somebody doesn't have trust in me, that's not something pleasing. But when I am sure somebody is believing me, trusting me, that is something that gives something pleasure to our heart. So God also is pleased because He, even after going through sufferings, trusting in God. So that's the first thing He says. You should be submissive to your masters, your superior, whoever it may be. Be willing to yield to them. Why? Because it is pleasing to God. God will be pleased. Now number two, what is the second thing? Verse 21, yet beginning, we read there, for to this you were called. For to this you were called. The purpose of our call. To this means, for what? To suffer unjustly, to suffer wrongfully, to go through mental agony or any kind of agony without any reason. It's not an easy thing. You might have read in the newspaper yesterday or on Sunday morning, one man, respected man from Bombay, he was planning to go to the traveling to Dubai. But in between, even the flight was stopped and every passenger was, you know, taken out, and he, that particular person is branded as a terrorist. Now he says, I'm going to file a case against the authority because he has defiled my name, projected me as a terrorist. So that is Apostle Peter says that a purpose of our call. Generally nobody is interested, will be happy to suffer wrongfully without any reason. It hurts so much. But Christian, Peter says, be willing. Be willing to suffer even without any reason. For that, God has called us. God has called us to suffer unjustly. In the call, we see many things about our call in the New Testament. The Spirit of God calls us, and He calls us, and what is the result of that call? Our salvation. We have been united to the Lord, called us to the fellowship of Jesus Christ, to share with all what the Lord Jesus Christ has, to share into His fellowship, or to share all what Christ has. 1 Corinthians 1:9. We have been called to the fellowship of His Son Jesus Christ. There we have this also. What? Suffer unjustly. There are many references in the New Testament. The Lord says in John's Gospel 15, verse 18 and 19, the Lord says the world will hate you. Why? Because John's Gospel 15, verse 18 and 19, the Lord says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Because we have been associated with Jesus Christ, the world will hate us. From the very moment we became Christian, born again believers, we are in the fellowship of Jesus Christ, the world will hate us. We have become an enemy of the world. Don't think that we have become friends of the world. If you try to become friends of the world, James says, we cannot be in fellowship with God. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. So we are naturally, because of our position in Christ, we are enemies. The world will see Christian as an enemy, and the world will begin to hate us. Apostle Paul says to the, you know, when we read in Acts chapter 14 verse 22, Paul is visiting those churches established by him, there we see that he went after to encourage them, to establish them. What was the message? It's very interesting to see that message. His intention is to establish them. His intention is to encourage them to stand firm in the faith. But what is the message? What is the encouraging words there? He says that strengthening Acts 14:22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, to strengthen them. He says, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Christians, they should go through many tribulations. And one aspect of that tribulation is we have to face sufferings without any reason. Unjustly, we have to suffer. We have many other references. I'm not going to those references in relation to sufferings. Even in Peter's epistle, we see much more about sufferings. So when we go through such suffering, what should be our attitude? Be willing to be submissive to whoever may be our superior. What shall we do? We shall display. We shall exhibit, or we should exhibit the goodness, the quality, the gentleness of God, the kindness of God, the good qualities of God, and glorify God as we have been seen in the lives of God's many people. See, there is another reason why God allows such difficult situation. Now, we don't read there. We don't read there. But it is God's purpose. From that, no, I just, we should understand that also. God's purpose in calling us. God has many purposes. God has called us, but we may become Christians, believers, born again believers. And God's purpose is, through suffering unjustly, sacrificing our life, display God's qualities to the world. Other than through our testimony, our life itself is a testimony. At the same time, the Bible says, we understand from the word of God, another purpose is there behind allowing sufferings. What is that? It is to teach us, to mold us. I don't know what is your experience, but I have experience in my life. Quite often we feel, we face difficult situation, difficult people, difficult experience. And you may be able to escape many difficult experiences. It's very hard to escape difficult, escape from difficult people. You should understand that. Instead of fighting, instead of being sorry for our life, instead of bearing, you know, feeling it as a painful or a disturbed condition, what you should understand, God's sovereign will has given me such a situation where I am in the midst of certain difficult people. I cannot change them, but I can change my reaction. God has allowed me to be there so that I may learn patience. I may be molded and I may learn certain lessons. I believe in the family, in the assembly, in the society, in our neighborhood, we will see among the neighbors, we will see difficult people, difficult situation. We should remember, God has allowed so that He may teach us, learn, and we may learn, He may mold us, He may prepare us, and we may become more godly patient. So, we should understand, this is in the purposes of God. Whatever we go through is in the purposes of God. So, He says, you should be submissive to your superior. Or when you go through sufferings wrongfully, take it, accept it, patiently, quietly. Go through it because it is part of God's purposes. Maybe to teach us something, maybe to take glory to His name. Okay, now the third thing. Third thing is pattern of Christ. That we see in the end of verse 21. To this you were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. So that is the third reason. This is the example of Christ. Pattern. Now the word example is actually, the meaning is writing under. You know that children, when they don't know how to draw a picture, what they do, they will keep a picture under the art paper, then they will slowly try to draw that picture. So keeping it under, that picture is under the paper, then keeping it as a pattern, trying to draw a picture. So Peter says, Christ is our example. He is a pattern and we are supposed to follow His example. This is the way He has done because Christ also suffered for us. He has left an example. His sufferings is an example. See, we must understand in Matthew, maybe we shall read two verses, Matthew's Gospel 10:38. two verses we shall read, Matthew's Gospel 10:38 and also Luke's Gospel 14:27. Matthew's Gospel 10:38 we read. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. The Lord says, he who does not take his cross, or he who is not interested to suffer for me, and he who is not interested to follow me, is not worthy of me, is not a qualified person for me. I will not say that he belongs to me. He is not worthy of me. Then Luke's Gospel 14 verse 27. We read there, Luke's Gospel 14 verse 27. We read. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. The one who is not bearing his cross and who doesn't come after me, who doesn't follow me, who doesn't follow my footsteps, he cannot be my disciples. Every Christian is supposed to follow the example of Christ in every area of life. In every area of life. There are many other references which just we shall see. See, we read in John's Gospel 13:15. The Lord says, I have washed your feet. You do it as I have done. Then we read in Ephesians 5:29. Christ caring for his church. Likewise you do. In your family, in the assembly. Care for God's people. Philippians 2:5. You should have the same mind as Christ had. The same attitude. Be willing to. What is a contest air? Humble, come down. To forsake the rights. Okay. Now Colossians 3:13. Christ has forgiven us. Forgive. Then 1 John 2:6. Walk like Christ. That includes every area. Walk like Christ. So for a Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ is the example. Peter says, for suffering, Christ is example. So when we go through sufferings, we should not complain. We should not murmur. Even if we are right for the testimony, for the glory of God, we should suffer it. Because very easy to say, but when it comes to my life, I will also, my reaction also may be different, but because more than my rights, more than my hak, more than my rights, what is more important? The glory of God, the testimony of God. There may be a time, there may be a reason for my argument. There may be a valid reason for my argument. Even then, there may be a time where I should, for the glory of God, for the glory of God. I may have to suffer. I have to suffer the loss, shame. Why? To uphold the glory of God. To uphold the glory of the assembly. The joy of the assembly. The happiness of the assembly. Should be priority for me. Not my rights. So Christians should suffer like Christ suffered. Quietly, patiently. Now Apostle Peter says something. Now there's another question. Peter and Paul say Christ is an example. As Christ suffer, you suffer. But the question may be there may be somebody who will ask, can we live like Christ? He is God and we are human beings. It's true. We cannot. Can we live like Christ? No. He is God anyway. He is different. He is God. At the same time, Bible says we need to go after him. That means he is our standard. We may not be able to live perfectly as Christ lived. Yet, it should be our aim. It should be our goal. It should be our motto. to live like Him. It is God's eternal purpose that we may be conformed to the image of Christ. Even today, it has to begin. That is sanctification, day after day. The Spirit of God is working in us through various ways, helping us, making us, molding us, preparing us to be like Christ. So that is our example. He is our example. We need, it should be our aim to live like Him, to walk like Him. Now, Peter says three things about Christ's suffering. That should be an example to us. First of all, he says, He suffered unjustly. He suffered unjustly. Peter says that he who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, he did no sin. We know those verses, Bible verses very well. He knew no sin. In him no sin. Sinless, perfect. There was no need for Christ to die, Christ to suffer. And his sinlessness is not only, not just a claim by Christ, it is attested by many. Pilate, he says, I find no fault in him. Mrs. Pilate, she says that the just man, centurion says, certainly he was righteous. Sinless person, the one who has done no mistake, no wrong, no sin at all. Why should he suffer? He suffered without any reason in one way, unjustly, wrongfully he suffered. And another thing Peter says that he suffered, see one word there, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. Reviled, that word, you know, that word means to pile up, abuse even, vile language against someone. Reviled, he was reviled, we know very well. This is not the only reference related to the sufferings of Christ. Reviled, they abused him, not only one word, false witnesses came and began to speak against him. False testimony. And many other ways they spat on him. They removed his clothes. And we see that he was beaten in the most cruel manner, scourged him. And not the details are found in the book of in the Gospels, you know. And it was the most shameful, painful way of suffering. As a criminal. The most wicked person. They persecuted him. He suffered the most humiliating manner. Then one more thing, we read there, he suffered quietly. Even though it was so shameful. See, when we, you know, elaborate into, you know, only we experience it. Somebody is mocking at us. Yes. You know, hurting us so much. It hurts us so much. The Lord kept quiet. It's not easy. The Lord quietly suffered. No argument he made. He didn't say that I am a righteous man. We know that very well. And he didn't even say, I will show you later on. You don't know what you are doing. I am going to be the judge. He doesn't say, so he quietly suffered. Apostle Peter says he did not threaten but committed himself to him who judges righteously. He committed himself to God. That word committed, it says that handed over. Handed over to God. People of the Jewish people, they captured the Lord Jesus Christ. They took hold of him. They handed over him to Pilate. And Pilate handed over him to Herod. Herod gave him back to Pilate. Pilate handed over him to people. Then the Lord, but during the time, the Lord Jesus Christ handed over himself to God. Because he knew God the Father knows everything. He is a righteous judge. He is the sovereign one. So he committed himself, so he never retaliated. He kept quiet and suffered patiently. So Peter says, in this way, it's an example to us. We should suffer, Christians should suffer wrongfully. If there is a need, you should be willing to suffer without any reason. Because that is the example the Lord gives. So there are three reasons why Christians should be submissive to their superior. Even if they have to suffer trouble in the workplace, they have to be quiet and submissive because it is pleasing to God. It is pleasing to God. It is the purpose of our call. It is the pattern Christ has set before us. Now, 24 and 25, when Apostle Peter wrote or spoke about the sufferings of Christ, he can't just stop there. Because Christ's suffering is not just as a pattern for us. The Lord did not suffer just to set a pattern for believers. It's not just an example for us. It's something more. We should always remember the sufferings of Christ, our sufferings are different. We should not say, oh, Christ suffers, so I also suffer. Christ's suffering is different, entirely different. Our suffering is different. So that's why Apostle Peter wants to give some idea, what does it mean when Christ, the Son of God, the sinless person, died or suffered? What is the truth behind the suffering? So two things he says about the sufferings of Christ in verse 24 and 25. First of all, he says it was substitutionary atonement. That's the first thing. What does it mean? Substitutionary atonement means he became a substitute for us. He took, see we read there, 24, who himself bore our sins. He took our sins. He took our place. He died. He suffered as our substitute. Now we know that, that teaching or that lesson, that truth about how the Lord took our place. His death, his sufferings was a substitutionary suffering or atonement, sacrifice. So that sinner shall die. A soul that sinner shall die. And no man can give ransom for his own brother. We see a lot of Bible references. The Lord Jesus Christ satisfied the demands of God. That is atonement. Atonement means to satisfy God's demand. So he has given his life as a ransom, as a sacrifice in our place. He took our place and he suffered for us. God the Father imputed all our sins upon him. And he became a sin for us. And he didn't become sin actually. He was treated as a guilty person. That is the first important thing we should remember. That is the main part of the gospel. Christ took our place. The sinless God took the form of a man. He is sinless. He took our place. He died and suffered in our place. It was a death as a substitute. He died in our place. And secondly, Peter says it was an efficacious suffering. Efficacious means Christ's suffering is not a waste. He did not suffer just to set an example. And that suffering is not without any effect. It has much effect. What is that effect? Peter says two things there. He says, we having died to sins might live for righteousness. Two things there. There are three things there. Okay. We died to sins. Having died to sins. Now what does it mean? That means when the Lord Jesus Christ died, when he went to cross, he took all of us together. Now many times we read that in 2 Corinthians 5:14. When one died for all died. Christ died as our substitute. Taking all of us together, he died. Sin is a master. Just imagine, Romans chapter 6. Sin is a master. And the penalty, the wages that master gives is death. And we were slaves to that master. The Lord Jesus Christ took hold of us, taking all of us together, even to the cross. And he died. In him we also died. Now master has no claim over us. We are dead. Now sin has no claim on us. I am dead to sin. As far as sin, the world, Satan is concerned, I am dead. I have nothing to do with them. That's what the apostle teaches in Romans chapter 6. So that is the result of Christ's death. We having died to sins, we have been separated, redeemed from the clutches of sin, delivered from sin. See, as a young man, young boy, I used to struggle, you know, I say it for the encouragement of somebody. As an young Christian, I used to struggle when I studied Romans, especially a book written by Watchman Nee. Challenge my heart. I am dead. Sin, world, Satan, you have nothing upon me. You have no connection, you have no link, you have no claim upon me. I am dead, I have been dead. When we realize that truth, you know, that gives us more grace, more power to find victory over sin, temptation, evil. Okay, now second thing Peter says that we live for righteousness. Dead to sin, live to righteousness. Earlier, we can't listen to righteousness. We can't respond to righteousness. We have nothing in us, in ourselves, that we can respond to righteousness. Today, we have nothing in ourselves that can respond to sin. But today, we have something else. Resources, the Spirit of God, new nature, that can be linked to righteousness. Respond to righteousness. To live in a righteous manner. That is the another effect of Christ's suffering. We are dead to sins, or we died to sins, and now we live for righteousness. We are able to live for righteousness because of the Spirit of God who is indwelling in us. And now thirdly, we could return to our shepherd. That's what Apostle Peter says. We could return to our shepherd. Verse 25. You are like sheep going astray. Have now returned to the shepherd. We have a shepherd. We have an overseer. The Lord is the shepherd. The Lord is the great shepherd. He is the pastor. He is the one who is taking care of us. He is the overseer. And Peter says, you are like sheep going astray. You would have never come back. But God has sent his son Christ, the good shepherd, came and sought you, died for you. He is the great shepherd. And you have been returned. You could return to him. That is a third benefit. So Jesus Christ, Apostle Peter says, He is not just an example, but he is not only he is an example, he is a standard example. Okay, he is an example, standard, he is our substitute, and he is our shepherd. So he is our standard of example, so we should follow him. We should live like him. If he is our substitute, we should be grateful to him. And if he is our shepherd, so we should stay close to him. My sheep listens to my voice. Now, finally, so the conclusion is, the summary is, Peter says, you servants, be submissive to your master. You should have an honorable behavior in the workplace. You should be submissive there. Why? Because it is pleasing to God. It is the purpose of the call that God wants us to exhibit his glory through our patient suffering, quietly suffering, whatever it may be. And it is the pattern of Christ. The Lord has given such an example. May God help us that we may behave in our workplace in the best manner, as a godly, as a child of God, giving glory to God, setting an example, following the footsteps of Christ, and glorifying his name. May his name.